took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another program, Glorious Day. Notice they didn't say episode this time, Barry.
Nope. Program.
Program.
Not a show.
Not a show. Well, it is a show, I guess.
Hello, David.
Anyway, hey, Barry, and welcome to Glorious Day. We are continuing the theme we started last week, which is on the storms of life.
Hmm.
And we know we have them. We know we're involved in them. And we're going to start with Barry reading from Matthew 14, 22 to 33.
Well, thank you, David.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Amen. Now, and this is, if you have been listening last week, and I hope you have been, if not, this program is available on the WCNO website. The main page on the left-hand side, there's a lot of options, and one is you can click on that if you want on demand.
On demand.
And we are on demand. You'll have to set the day, which the last one was the 24th or 25th of July was that show. To listen to the first scripture from Mark 4:35 through 41, which was another storm on the sea where Jesus was in the boat with them. And we talked about faith and all that. Well, now, in this story, there's been some advancement in the faith of the disciples, right? And this time, Jesus is not in the boat when they're fighting the wind and the rain and all that.
It sounded like a pretty tough place to go boating, don't you think?
The Sea of Galilee was a tough place, you know. It was one of those, it's like Lake Okeechobee in some ways, where it's big, but it's not deep. And, you know, so when storms came up, they could be pretty serious if you had a lot of wind blowing.
You had a lot of wind blowing and maybe a little bit of a mountain range on one side and flat on the other, and that creates wind.
That does create wind. Mm-hmm. And these guys were accomplished boaters, but these guys have been rowing all night, right? Jesus sent them on ahead of him. They were going to set up camp, and they were going to be meeting with the crowds on the other side of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus stayed to pray. And this is sometime down the road. We're going to do a lot of programs on Jesus praying, because that's very important. But right now, we can look at this. So they went on ahead, but the storm was so great, the wind, they really weren't making a lot of headway. Yeah, but the only thing they were doing is getting a great upper body workout, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all the oars and everything. And so they're really tired and frustrated. You know, think of, if you've ever been in a boat in the dark, in a storm, rowing against the wind, you know, think about how that was for them. And here we have Jesus did leave his prayer place on the mountain, and he came and he decided to catch up with them, so he was walking on the water.
Of course he was.
And we also know, because he's God and he's this is another miracle, he was big on nature miracles, and because it got the attention of the people, really taught them a lot of stuff. But notice that he was not being buffeted by the wind.
No, he was not. And as he was coming toward the boat, though they thought he was a ghost, I have to give them credit. They are spiritually growing at this point.
Absolutely.
Because you think how they were the last time around compared to now. They are growing in their faith, particularly Peter.
Yeah, and this is the thing now. We really wanted to lift up Peter because, you know, he's getting a little more spiritually wise, you know, and he's been listening to Jesus. And so then Peter is the one who, they hear Jesus, but they still don't recognize him. They can't see him because it's dark and everything. But they recognize his voice when he says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid," which is kind of a version of when they woke him up in the boat maybe a year prior to that, and he said, you know, "Don't be afraid. Why are you afraid?" You know. But now he's saying, "Don't be afraid." And then Peter, what does Peter do?
You know? Peter actually, I'm proud of him here. He says, he asked for a command to join him on the water. Yeah. He didn't say, "Hey, is it you? And what happened? Can I put my foot over the side?" No, he said, in other words, "If you command me, I'm going."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, "Come." Yep. And he did. He did, David. He took that first step.
In our spiritual walk with the Lord, literally our spiritual walk, as we grow in our faith, and it's really, again, the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it is.
But in the storms of life, and we talked last week about there are going to be storms, you're in storms right now, what do? Well, you call on Jesus. And so now we see in a very concrete way, you know, that Peter's faith is to the point where he believes if Jesus issued the command for him to walk on the water, he could do it.
And he did.
He did.
He did, David. You know, sometimes you wonder if your faith grows in baby steps. This was a pretty good leap.
It was.
For Peter. This was not a baby step. If you've ever been out on a boat and you don't know what's underneath the boat, how deep it is, and you know that, well, human beings sink. We don't float real well, particularly in a storm.
I understand fat floats, and probably I would for a while, but, you know. I don't want to digress from the point, which is, yeah, that he had faith and he believed. But something happened, Barry.
You know, I know what happened, David. Yeah. He took his eyes off of Jesus because it says in our Bible, it says that he saw the winds all about him. That requires eyeballs looking somewhere other than Jesus' face.
Yep.
And that's, tell you what, we all do that.
We do.
We're guilty of that. You know, we're all elated and strong, and, you know, I've got rock-solid faith. And then Jesus says, "Come," and as you begin to go, you begin to think about, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, that bill's not going to get paid. Wait a minute. I know I'm losing my job. Now, wait a minute. And you begin to take your eyes off of Christ.
Yeah.
And you sink.
You sink. You start sinking anyway.
You start sinking.
And fortunately for Peter, though, because Jesus kind of knew that would probably happen.
Yeah.
And when Peter cried out, "Lord, save me!" Well, you know, listen, friends, if you know Jesus, wasn't that the beginning of your relationship with him, the beginning of knowing him as a saving God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he went from theory to practice, when you finally said, "Lord, Jesus, save me," you know, and he grabbed you, and he's never going to let you go. We got to remember that. But here's Peter. Jesus saved him, lifted him up. They both walked back to the boat. And you know, that's an interesting thing because they did. Once Jesus had a hold of him, I can see them. It doesn't say particularly that they both walked back to the boat, but you got to think Jesus is walking and he's not dragging Peter through the waves.
Right.
Peter with him finally was able, walking with Jesus, he was walking with him too, and they both got back in the boat. And then, remember in the last story from Mark, when Jesus did the miracle, they said, "Who is this guy?" Or something like that. That's my translation of it. But this time, they worshiped him. And they said, truly, you are the Son of God.
Amen.
You know, and so they had spiritual growth. You know, we're talking, and then you as a disciple, you, whoever's listening, you know, you were, if you know Jesus, if you received him in your heart, you're a disciple. And I hope for your, that you're the kind of disciple that, yeah, if you say, Jesus, call me out of the boat and I'll go, and you maybe start sinking, at least you know to hang on to Jesus. I've got a story.
You do?
Yes, sir. I kind of threatened or promised at the end of the last program.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a story that puts me into a kind of a storm in my life when I had been walking with the Lord for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was still a baby Christian. But I, you know, I did all the right things. I studied, I prayed, I had great church folks, and you know, we had good fellowship. We shared our stories, our testimonies, and we got stronger, you know, and I was in several, not just my church group, but I also worked that time in a prison ministry. Mm. And every one of us were believers. You know, some of course longtime believers. And
right.
And I was still, as I said, I'd been a believer then for about 6 or 7 years, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you about the storm in my life. This was a time my mom had been diagnosed with sarcoma, bone cancer.
Mm.
And it was not the first, there was probably an initiatory tumor they couldn't find. So
right.
This had been going on for a while, but she couldn't walk. One thing led to another, the diagnosis was sarcoma. She was in the hospital, clearly beyond treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond treatment. So they were doing, I think she was hospice back then, so she was being palliated. She was just being made comfortable.
Right.
And she was in that, as I said, for 3 months. But this took me by surprise because of the storm in my life was not only that my mother was dying, but that I had taken my eyes off Jesus.
Ah, and what happened, David?
Well, after about a month and a half, I had allowed, because I hadn't given it to the Lord, this mm-hmm. storm, I was trying to handle it myself and I couldn't. So I began losing control. And in my case, that was manifested in having severe anxiety attacks.
Mm.
I mean, I was driving, I lived in Lakeland, Florida. The prison ministry was in Orlando. It was about a 45-minute drive on the interstate.
Right.
And I remember halfway there, I couldn't breathe. I didn't know what was going on. I never had an anxiety attack in my life. I couldn't breathe, and the muscles were contracting, so it was hard to breathe, and my pains were starting, my joints were hurting. Pulled over to the side of the road, I thought I was dying.
Probably thought you were having a heart attack.
I thought I was having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I started praying, and you know, of course, I was panicky. You know, this was not I was not strong enough in my faith to recognize that I needed to just hand this over, submit completely to Jesus.
Mm.
So I was praying, but I was also trying to figure out how to stop this, right? Well, it wasn't going to happen. Anyway, the Lord was gracious to me, and I calmed down enough to finish my drive to the office in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, and I was the first one there, and I started having another anxiety attack. And so I didn't, again, know what to do about it. It did dissipate. And then one of my brothers showed up, and I called him over. I said, I forget what his name was, but I said, I was telling him my symptomology and everything. And I said, well, brother, would you just pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
He laid his hands and he prayed for me. And when he was done praying, and he walked away. And so I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. But I started having another anxiety attack, you know. So I went over to him and I said, I'm having another anxiety attack. I said, I don't know what's wrong. And he said, oh, I know. Now listen closely.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you don't have enough faith.
Wow.
And I said, oh. But I was still so young in the spirit, I didn't realize that was not the answer. Okay. What is the answer? Well, we've read it in two stories now
mm-hmm.
about the disciples in the boat. The answer was, I had turned my eyes away from Jesus.
There you
right?
go.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a question of quantity of faith, you know. It was a question of where was my spiritual focus.
Right.
And it You know, frankly, because he didn't answer that question. He walked away. He was happy with the fact I didn't have any faith, enough faith.
That's easy to say, isn't
you know,
it?
And they're saying, well, okay, how do I do that? You know, I call QVC or something and you can order
buy,
it.
Yeah,
go to my pastor. I mean, you know, whatever. The point being is that no, it wasn't an issue of quantity of faith. Like Peter, I taken my eyes off Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward. I just wanted to, you're going to wonder, how does the story end?
Yeah.
You know?
How'd you get home?
How did I get home? Well, it was a period. This did not happen immediately because I struggled so deeply with it. And I was so, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, right? Because I learned this several years ago. Jesus told me, he said, you were just afraid to ask me. He said, you were so into how you thought that looked to me. Because it looked like you were faithless. Well, it was. But yeah. He said, you didn't ask me for help. Because you were embarrassed. Now, does that sound like you folks? It may be, because that's a very human thing.
I
was so embarrassed that I didn't have what it took to get healed. But I wasn't turning to Jesus. See, well, down the road, I did. I had some great friends that helped me. They counseled me. They loved with me. They prayed with me. And the day came when I finally turned it over to Jesus. And then, of course, the healing started. But I'll tell you, another reason is I kept having it. I'd drive away from the house,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd get an anxiety attack. I'd have to call someone to pick me up. And then later on, I'd have to go back and get my car.
You were deeply affected,
I was deeply,
David. Wow.
And for about a month, I just didn't leave the house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was too embarrassing. But the point being is my greatest embarrassment when I realized it was that I didn't turn to Jesus.
That's key. And that's what we have available to us. Sometimes you'll be in a church and there'll be something uncomfortable like an altar call.
Yeah.
You ever been to one of those?
Oh, yeah.
And your heart is being tugged and touched. But how will I look if I stand up and walk? What will people think if I walk up there? You know, they're going to think that I'm a broken, weak person. Well, we hope so.
Yeah, that's why you're going.
That's why you're going. But people are reticent to show their weakness. They want people to believe that they have rock solid faith and they're in good place. You know, and that's not how this works.
No.
You know, Jesus wants us to be honest. He wants an honest sinner.
He does.
He wants someone who's willing to admit that they're a sinner, that they're broken, that they have absolutely no power. And his arms are wide open. Come unto me.
Just like in the scripture that Barry read from for our study from Matthew tonight,
mm-hmm.
is that, and you think for a minute, now I really want to address those who do not believe that they haven't received Jesus in their heart.
Okay.
Is that you're going to have an opportunity to do that. And you're going to be like the disciples in the boat. And you're going to see... You're going to see the need for something to happen in your life. And there's going to be Jesus right there, but initially you're not going to know it's him.
That's true.
Because, you know, he's there always with you, but you're not going to know it's him. But like the disciples, they saw this shape coming through the storm. And before, you know, they were incredulous. And then Jesus said, you know, take heart.
Mm-hmm.
It is I, do not be afraid. And if you have a chance to go to an altar call in your church, or if you know a Christian believer that can pray with you and bring you to Christ, it's like there he is. He's standing right there waiting for you to step out of the boat.
Get out of the boat. You know, it's not comfortable outside the boat either. It's very comfortable in there.
Oh, yeah.
You feel safe in there. But, you know, you step out of the boat and you keep your eyes on Christ.
Amen.
And you won't even, you know, when you're in deep prayer, I'm going to share something with you. When you're in deep prayer, deep commune with your God.
Amen.
Okay?
Yep.
In that intimate place, it's just you and God. There's no room for the evil one. There's no room for demonic activity. There's no room for doubt. It's the deep end of the prayer pool.
Yeah.
And it's one of those beautiful moments as a Christian. It's the wow moment.
Yeah.
You know, Peter... For those few steps coming off the boat, had his wow moment. Look at me, just me and Christ, just me and Jesus walking on the water. Amen. And he had his wow moment. You can have your wow moment, but you just got to let down your guard and trust. Trust in God.
And he will then, when you invite him into your life, not as a concept, but as the person, Jesus Christ, he will never leave you. Mm-hmm. He said to his disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
Ever. And this is what, frankly, this is what you need to know. This is the very basic, fundamental truth that people who are lost today, who are in a storm, they don't know what to do. And frankly, if you think you can work your way out of this storm, and maybe you could sort of get it in your mind that you've done that, there's going to be another storm.
We just saw two of them.
We just saw two of them. That's right. If you don't have Jesus, that those storms are devastating. And the enemy, the devil, loves for you to believe that you can do it on your own, that going to Jesus is a sign of weakness, that seeking his blessing is a total waste of time. That's the enemy's lie. He's right. Always done it. He's always said that, and it's kept people from having the life Jesus wants them to have. And so that's our word. You know, we still have a few minutes left, Barry, before we have to close.
David, I'd like to pray.
Would you please?
Yes.
Please, that's great.
You know, David and I come together, and you can't see us in here, but we're just two friendly old guys who are in love with Christ.
And, amen.
And, you know, we pray palms up like you do, and we are humble people, and we keep this informal. There's no room for formalities here.
No.
And it's just David and I and you who are listening right now. And the Holy Spirit's asking me to pray to those of you who do not know Jesus. So let us pray. Oh, Holy Father, you stand ready with your arms wide open. You know who needs you. We know that you know everything about their life, their victories and their failures, their fears, their pride, their hopes and dreams. And Holy Father, we pray that they come to you today, humble, on their knees, arms stretched out, with nothing between them and you, with nothing to stop them from crying out, from humbling themselves, brain, heart, body, the whole package, Lord, to stand before you and say, I am broken. I have no hope. I can't fix this. I depend completely on you. So heal me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Let me walk with you. You and I walking on the water together in glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. That I know that touched some hearts today. And we'll continue to touch hearts.
Yes, we will. You know, this is a ministry that David and I were tapped on the shoulders and maybe even got some noogies on the head to get started.
Yeah, I got one or two for sure.
Yeah, I got them. I'm getting a bald spot from God's noogies. And, but we come together, and when we first met, we knew that it was something that God wanted us to do together.
Yeah.
And there's something about this show. I called it a show, David. This
you
program.
Sure did, yeah. Well, I guess that there's some showing going on from the Lord, hopefully.
It is.
Yep.
But we just genuinely love all of you, and we just want you to feel the complete joy and the peace of Christ. Amen.
And we still want to hear from you. You can, the best way is to call the station and or I'll give you the phone number, but I'll also tell you how to get us an email. The phone number is 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. Toll-free number from just about anywhere. Or you can send an email to Glorious Day by typing into your email what line do they call that? This has been, for me, it's been a long day.
Yes, it is.
My brain is not working too well. But it's WCNO at WCNO.com. That's how you get emailed to us. It's WCNO at WCNO.com, and you can send an email, and you can say, you know, what you like, what you don't like. Also, any themes that you'd like to hear us develop down the road?
Yeah, please do that.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you because you're our listeners, and you know, we kind of are beholden to you, and we want to help you out. So help us help you.
Amen to that.
Well, you know, actually, we have about half a minute, Barry.
Okay.
Anything else? Half a minute. Well, less now. But anything God's put on your heart before we have to close?
Yes. I got a message from one of my 90-something-year-old residents to continue to walk the walk and talk the talk and teach this gospel uncompromised.
Amen.
And old school is the best school, according to what she believes.
Yeah.
And that she said that we are beholden, as you just said. It's funny you said that, to preach the truth, the unvarnished truth of the Bible.
You know, the truth is the only thing that, well, what did Jesus say about the truth? It sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, we all need to be free.
Amen.
We need to be free in Christ so we can do what he wants us to do. We will, hopefully you'll be listening in next week at WCNO 89.9 FM at either 5:30 Sunday morning or 5:30
PM.
You have two choices. Or if you miss both, again, there's
on
demand by going to our website, WCNO.com, and clicking the on demand block on the left hand side of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And some other good, cool things you can look at too if you have time. Brother,
yes,
thank
brother.
You again.
Thank you, David.
Have a blessed evening. And thanks for joining me in this.
Well, thank you, brother. I keep teasing David that we really are brothers from another mother.
Yeah, right. Well, and ultimately, we're on the same family of God. So.
Amen. We are.
Be blessed. We'll talk to you next week. Okay. Have a good night or a good morning.
Bye-bye. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope. That the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
And rejected, bearing our sins by